Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I am your host, Tyler, and I am joined for a very quick recap of VCU's semifinal win over St. Louis with the daytime host on 910, the fan, Richmond, Adam Epstein. Adam, thank you for joining me.
Tyler, thanks for having me, man.
So that was a comprehensive VCU win. I mean, anything we can say to describe it is basically about the same things we could use to describe the victory on Thursday over Davidson. VCU was just the better team, but I think we got to kick things off with one hell of a half from Jaden Nunn. Ends up with 10 points 4 minutes in. He had two center-level monstrous blocks. Like, these were Hassan Ward swats. And the play that everyone's going to talk about, the posterizing dunk late in the game. He's been inconsistent throughout the year, but when he's that good, can anyone beat VCU?
No. I mean, the potential's there with Jaden Nunn, and you mix that with a good Ace Baldwin game as well, 5 of 11, 13 points. I mean, that backcourt dynamic duo is so good. It puts VCU above every team in this conference, in my opinion, and you mix that with the play down low. There's a reason they won this league by 3 games. But, yeah, I mean, this was just a game of runs, and it just felt like VCU, once they caught fire, you couldn't pour it out. You know, I mean, my goodness, run after run after run, 8-0 run, 9-0 run, 6-0 run, and so many defensive stops, and they were getting guys out in transition, and that big poster dunk was awesome.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that stood out amongst those runs, we had Matt Sheltenheid on sitting, I think, maybe in these very same seats 2 days ago. And we were raving about St. Louis going zone against George Mason and doing a great job at it, mm-hmm. and how that worked in the second edition against VCU. Well, they pulled it out late in the first half today. It slowed VCU down for like a minute. And the next thing you knew, instead of the dribble penetration that was killing them, the Rams were just raining threes. And anything Travis Ford tried to do, it seemed like Mike Rhodes was already anticipating those chess moves.
Yeah, totally. And the problem for St. Louis today was VCU's bench. I mean, that was a big part of this. Is so many guys off the bench contributing. Jameer Watkins came in and kind of took over the game for a while, and he even missed a few shots, 2 of 7 from three, where a few of those were wide open. It was the offense for VCU today, the ball never stuck. It was constantly moving both sides of the court, but their defense won this game. I mean, it felt like St. Louis was trying to run their sets, and it was not working at all. No matter what they did, it didn't matter who was in the lineup. You know, Zeb Jackson, I thought, did a really good job staying in front of Yuri Collins. Then Jaden Nunn as well. VCU won this game start to finish. Yeah, St. Louis made a big run there to push it down to 5 right before the half, but sense of urgency second half, the Rams came out and exploded.
Yeah, and we talked about this with Dr. John last week after VCU beat St. Louis the second time. There's just so many great athletes on the wing, and it's kind of the kryptonite for St. Louis that if you're a team like VCU and you have Baldwin and Kern and Nunn and Jackson, now all of a sudden you can put a great defender on Yuri Collins and Gibson Jimerson and Javonte Perkins, and St. Louis kind of can't operate that way. Now, we saw Francis Okoro go down a big bummer for him. It looks like his college career is likely over with that injury, but didn't play the last 30 minutes of the game. Do you think that made an impact, or was his presence not going to make a difference the way VCU came out today?
No, he's good. He's a good big man. He's strong. But I, you know, coming into this game, I was actually more scared of Jake Forrester, because when St. Louis came to VCU, he played a really good game. Okoro was out with that one as well. But you look at this St. Louis team, I thought Terrence Hargrove was going to kill us. He had played 11 minutes, 1 of 4. This is a guy that was very aggressive the first two times against VCU, so surprised about that. And then Yuri Collins got a 12-point, 10-assist double-double, but it felt quiet to me. You know, it felt like he was doing his thing, but he wasn't dominating the game. There was a lot of possessions where he was dribbling around in circles and then threw the ball away. He had 6 turnovers. That's crazy.
And look, St. Louis fans will absolutely take offense to this if they actually listened to this episode after their emotional troubles today.
Yeah, I don't know if I would.
I mean, Yuri Collins, you think of him as just a constantly selfless player because of the number of assists he racks up, but he's no different than a big-time scorer where sometimes someone like Eric Reynolds, for example, can score 30 points because he's taken a lot of shots. Yuri Collins had a lot of assists today because he was throwing a lot of passes.
Yeah.
And he had some games throughout the year where it felt like he didn't make a huge impact, and today was definitely one of them. The one guy who did come through was Javon Pickett,
yeah,
who was awesome in the George Mason game as well, and you saw him kind of fade into the background as the other guys got going. He had to have a great game for St. Louis to win, and he did, and it was the stars who didn't come through, and I'm not sure that's as much on them as it is just on the VCU defense, and this has been a consistent theme ever since they lost to Duquesne. Mm-hmm. That perimeter D is back and just destroying people again.
Yeah, and for the offensive end for St. Louis, I think they were like 7 of 12 in the first half from 3. They finished the game 9 of 20. So I don't know if VCU did a better job running them off the three-point line, getting a hand in their face, or guys just went cold, but they needed to keep up that three-point percentage. Yeah, it was 58% in the first half. You finished the game 45%, 25% in the second half. They needed to hit threes. I mean, VCU scored 90 points. That doesn't always happen. St. Louis was going to have to keep nailing shots to come back in this one. They couldn't.
Yeah. So any other parting thoughts on this game? Something we didn't mention. We gave Ace Baldwin basically no pub. 13 points, 4 assists in the first half. He was the reason why they got going early. And then second half just kind of did his thing, let other guys have their big moments. So I feel like he deserves a shout out. But anything else from you?
No, you're right about Ace. So the first thing I noticed was, you know, I'm sure you saw it too. St. Louis was up 5-0, right? And that's not what VCU wanted. You wanted to start hot. But Ace Baldwin realized, hey, I'm going to have to score to get the offense rolling. And that's what he did. And he's just such a great leader. He can take a step back like a Yuri Collins and just dish the ball out. But he can also score better and hit the three-point shot and defend better. I mean, he's the best defender in the conference. That's why he won Defensive Player of the Year. I also want to give a shout-out to Jaden Nunn, because you look at Yuri Collins and Jaden Nunn. They were guarding each other, right? And Jaden dominated that matchup, a sophomore with so much potential, and Yuri Collins is an all-conference player. He was first team, all A-10. It just shows you that Jaden Nunn can step up in the big moment. And then the other thing I would say is I'm just so impressed that VCU is now 7-0 all-time in the A-10 in the semifinals. You know, we, my friends and I have a joke, you know, we don't always win it on Sunday, but we're going to be playing on Sunday. And that's a fact for VCU, 7-0 all-time in the A-10. In semifinals matchups, so we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, and on the flip side, St. Louis, they've been to the semifinals 3 years in a row, lost all three of them. The last five halves, their opponent's scoring numbers, 39, 44, 40, 44, 46.
Wow.
The defense has just not been there after the end of the Goodwin French era.
Well, they need Okoro to be the shot blocker around the rim, and they were kind of soft inside after he got hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were soft inside at various different points throughout the season, but that's about it for the Billikens here. For VCU, they move along, and by the time everyone listens to this, we'll know who they're playing in the finals. But right now, we're just about to get things rolling with Dayton and Fordham. As a VCU supporter, as someone who covers the team, is there any doubt that even with the crowd that you would rather play Fordham tomorrow?
I don't know. I think it would be cool to see Fordham VCU, because I'm interested in the atmosphere. I want an electric crowd like that. Dayton travels well, though, so, you know, they'd have their fans there. But it's shocking to see Fordham, you know, win this many regular season games, win a couple games in conference play here. So I think it'd be cool for the conference to have someone else in there. But at the same time, part of me thinks if Dayton's in the finals and then VCU loses to Dayton, we're still in the tournament. That's what I'm thinking.
History says that they should be in that scenario, and personally, as someone who's watched the Rams pretty deeply, I agree that they should. One thing that actually helped them, St. Louis cutting into that lead late, should keep St. Louis in the top 100 net.
Ah.
And so therefore this game today will stay as a Q2 win, which VCU needs a few of those right now to help them out. But yeah, we will see what happens in that game, and no matter what, this is a win for the A-10 conference, because they're going to get two of the three best fan bases this weekend in the final, regardless of what happens in the Dayton and Fordham game.
Yeah, I love the A-10 tournament. I think they put on another good one this year. It's been fun here at the Barclays Center. Pittsburgh's always fun. DC's fun. Love the A-10.
But yeah, we'll wrap it up here with one final question.
Sure.
Obviously, like I said, we don't know the matchup here, but let's just say generic battle with either of these teams. You split the season series with Dayton. You guys actually crushed Fordham.
Yeah.
So what is the one biggest key outside of the obvious things, some sort of wild card that will lead to VCU winning the championship?
Well, if it's Dayton, the number one guy, everyone thinks it's Daron Holmes. No, it's Tamani Kamara. I think he's an NBA player. I actually think he's more talented than Holmes because he's got more skills. He's got more moves in his bag, and he's a matchup nightmare for a Brandon Johns because he's quicker than him. And then coach will go to Nick Kern, Jameer Watkins, and he's stronger than him. So it's going to be a tough matchup for VCU if it's Dayton. If it's Fordham, my eye test says they came to the Siegel Center and they didn't play 40 minutes of basketball. They were playing handball. I mean, it was awkward. They had no offensive sets. VCU ran them off the court. So if it's Dayton, I think it's a close game, and VCU's got to shut down Kamara. I think he had like 27 and 25 against VCU both times this year. I mean, he just exploded against the Rams, so that would be the number one thing to look out for.
All right, Adam Epstein, thank you for joining me. Where can everybody find you?
AWAD Radio on social media, AWADDRADIO. Tyler, thanks so much. Keep cranking out content. I love listening to the pod, hearing tweets, and reading about the A-10, man.
Yeah, and you got your own pod, the Black and Gold Fan Pod, so everyone be sure to go listen to that, especially if VCU's season continues into the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt is now back with me. We are now after the conclusion of Dayton's win over Fordham, and I think we got to start with basically the point that Adam just ended with here. His fear for Tamani Kamara. Oh my God, did he just put on a magnificent game. 28 points, 12 for 13 shooting, which is the A-10 record for best field goal percentage in a conference tournament game. He drew 5 fouls, which is incredibly impressive. Daron Holmes actually drew 7. Basically, anytime you get more than 3 in a game, that's incredible. And the two times that Dayton was at their best in this game is when he was at the head of the 1-3-1 defense or when they were playing man with him up against Khalid Moore. Basically, any other situation, they kind of struggled on that end. But just an incredible, incredible game from Kamara.
Yeah, he was amazing. And we talked about it after the game, but Kamara has been great almost the entire time in Dayton's two games against VCU this year. So that could present a tough matchup for the Rams, and he's been playing at his best for most of these games down the stretch of the season. Overall, just a really impressive offensive game, too, for the Flyers after just looking sluggish against St. Joe's, and maybe they took more threes than they wanted to in that first game, could never really get into the flow of the offense. Against Fordham, they put up 1.3 points per possession, which is really good against one of the best defensive teams in the league. And they're going to need those same traits against VCU, who we just saw pressure St. Louis so much and force a ton of turnovers. The Flyers only had 9 against Fordham, and so they're going to have to continue taking care of the ball.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that their guards really did do well in this game. They minimized mistakes, but really, and I tweeted this out after the game, they won because they had two very special players, and we've known that all year, who both played at a special level today. I mean, Daron Holmes went off for 20 points, 6 rebounds, and that performance almost kind of went unnoticed, just given how great Kamara was. I mean, you kind of just look around the rest of the team. Kobe Bryant didn't score. They got 3 points from Sharv Jumps, who didn't get back in the second half. Mustafa Amziel quietly knocked home 3 threes. He really made the biggest contribution outside of those two. And Malachi Smith, who just put together kind of a quietly excellent game of his own, 11 points and 7 assists, although he did turn the ball over 4 times. He was responsible for nearly half of those. But it was the big three basically all the way through for Dayton.
Yeah, I think it was, although going outside that big three, I do think it's important. After that St. Joe's game, we really didn't know what the rotation was going to look like the rest of the tournament, where R.J. Blakeney played 4 minutes, Brady Uwagwalkon was the 6th man that night, so it looked like this was going to be a very thin team. But getting Sharv Jumps back for 10 minutes, R.J. Blakeney had a much, much better game. Having that type of depth is going to be critical against VCU. I think we saw it in the second game at the Siegel Center where Dayton was down to 5 or 6 scholarship players for a lot of the game after Mike Sharv Jumps fouled out. And down the stretch in that final minute was when they started making mistakes. And VCU is the perfect team that'll tire you out and just throw everything they've got at you for the entire game. So I think that's got to be one of the biggest things, that Dayton knows they're going to have 2 guys off the bench they can go to.
Yeah, and before we really move into this finals preview, I do want to touch on Fordham today. I mean, we tweeted it out probably four different times during the game, and anyone who watched it understood how amazing Khalid Moore was in this one. He and Kamar were basically just going at one another. The only way that they could be stopped was by their fellow power forward. And Fordham really only got that one-star performance. Darius Quisenberry had an off game. Now, his shoulder came literally loose at probably the second or third possession of the second half. He was able to tough it out, only missed about 2 minutes of that whole half, but his shot wasn't there. He wasn't getting to the hole the way he was against LaSalle. And overall, Fordham's offense just didn't have enough dynamism from anyone outside of Moore and a few made threes from Will Richardson. And when those two Dayton bigs are playing at the level they are today, it becomes a shootout situation. Like, there's really no way to put the game into your own mathematical advantage here. And that was Fordham's problem, even though they had an incredible crowd behind them in this game. And from the other corner of the arena where the Dayton fans were situated, they put up a pretty nice performance themselves. But I don't know, were the Fordham fans better today? It was pretty equivalent. I'd say they were probably probably slightly better Thursday, but it was pretty close. It was spectacular both times.
Yeah, it was great both nights, and I would say, too, even though Fordham lost and ended up being a 10-point game, I really felt like they played a great game on offense because it has been an inconsistent season for them on that end of the court, but they were pretty efficient overall. They did a great job getting it inside to Nowitzki, who had 13 points. They weren't turning the ball over a ton themselves. They only had 8 for the game. It just felt like Dayton outplayed them, and the team that's a little bit more talented came out on top, but I certainly wouldn't say Fordham has anything to be ashamed of. This was honestly, I think, the first A-10 tournament game where it felt like both teams played at their best for most of the game.
Yeah, and had Dayton not just really stomped the boot down in the last 5 minutes, which is something they have not been good at doing this whole season, but had it stayed close, this was trending to be the game of the year. Through 35 minutes, it was. It was the best played back-and-forth game we had all season. And when push came to shove and everyone had to be at their best, Dayton was just too good.
So now in the season of chaos, we're back to 1-2. And these were two teams that we had, I believe. Did you also have VCU second in your preseason? So we had them 1-2 going in. And for most of the conference season, they have kind of stood out as the best teams. Should be a pretty amazing final coming up. And these schools both have a lot of history against each other, especially in the A-10 tournament.
Yeah, and we've been wrong about so much stuff this year. But one thing you cannot catch us on is we've been telling you since late spring. And now, granted, there was about a 2-week period around Thanksgiving, right when St. Louis beat Providence, where we did briefly waver on this. But we've told you for about 95% of the season that in some order, Dayton and VCU were the two best teams in this conference. And after watching these last few weeks, I don't think there should be any doubt in anyone's mind that that is true. And now here we are. Rubber match. They split 1-1, both winning on the road. And yeah, VCU won the regular season by 3 games, but Dayton had the better non-conference, and I think it's pretty fair to say that the winner of this game truly probably was the best team all year.
Yeah, it's close either way, however you slice it, and I think the point guard matchup is what I'm most looking forward to in this one, because we didn't get to see Malachi Smith in either game against VCU, missed both due to different injuries at different times. And then Ace Baldwin coming off his Player of the Year award, he's been great to start out the A-10 tournament, so I think that's where it's going to start. But overall, I feel like from the first 2 games of the season against these schools, we know how even they are, so right now, it looks like VCU's opening up as a slight favorite, which I think is fair, but definitely could go either way.
Yeah, and when we start to break this down, I think it's pretty clear at this point that Daron Holmes is not going to have some sort of all-star performance tomorrow. VCU has done a great job at mitigating him on the offensive end. It's been probably the best defensive performances of Jaden Deloach's season, along with just a spectacular game plan from Mike Rhodes. We know that Tamani Kamara is going to outplay Brandon Johns. He has caused him so much trouble throughout these two matchups. And yes, VCU could adjust to kind of take him out, but if they do so, they're going to have to give up a lot of the ground that they've built in stopping Holmes. So a little bit of a catch-22 there. For me, the key ends up being, are VCU's role players truly that much better than Dayton's that we've seen over these last few days? Jaden Nunn, unbelievable in the second half today, like we talked about. David Shriver has been hot for a few weeks now, and quite frankly, Dayton's just not getting that same contribution from their guys right now. Kobe Brea has stunk in this tournament so far. He's probably wouldn't have played crunch time in any of these two games if they had other options. Mustafa Amzi was good offensively today, but he was also getting killed by Khalid Moore when he had to guard him on the other end. And right now, I'd give the edge to Nunn and Kern and Shriver and company over Dayton's group. But if that matchup can be about even, I think Dayton has the better stars.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's come down to in the Flyers' first two games, where it felt like Kamara was just a little bit better than Eric Reynolds in the first game, and then Dayton's studs were just a little bit better than Khalid Moore. But yeah, I think the Kobe Brea factor is going to be huge. I think Dayton's going to have, they're going to have to make some three-pointers, and Brea has only made one through two games. He's been getting good looks too, and it seems like they're close to going down, but that's just critical for him. When he's not making three-pointers, sometimes it's hard for him to contribute a bunch else. So, and we've seen it from Nunn and Shriver, who were both great today against St. Louis. Nunn in particular hasn't done a lot in either of the Dayton games, but really since the second one is when his season started taking off, and he's been more established as a good offensive role player. So I think that shooting guard matchup is another one that really will play a lot in determining the outcome of this game.
Yeah, and when I look at big keys here, I think for VCU, you have to be able to continue to slow down Holmes like you have. You need to be able to continue to shoot the ball decently well, as the Rams have for basically about a month now. If they can keep themselves in it from an offensive perspective, keep things around 70 points, then I really believe that this game comes down to, like you said, role guys knocking down threes for Dayton. When we look at that crew, Brea, Amziel, Blakeney, I guess Sharv jumps. He looked decent in the first half. He played about half of it. I don't believe he got in the second half at all. He's got a bulky knee brace on. But if you can get six made threes combined out of those four guys, then unless VCU goes to a level of offense that we see occasionally but rarely from them, I think Dayton ends up as the winner.
I think that the two factors, one for me, VCU is going to need to dictate the tempo of the game. They did a lot better against St. Louis when they were getting up and down the court, forcing turnovers, getting out in transition, and you know very well Dayton is going to do everything they can. They are the slowest team in the conference, one of the slowest in the country, and so the Flyers are going to need to protect the ball, stop VCU from having quick possessions. The other thing too, though, it almost feels like VCU hasn't broken a sweat through two games, where Dayton has had to grind to get to this point. They have pretty much had high leverage minutes, I would say, you know, 76 out of 80 so far through the first two games, where VCU has pulled away to two comfortable victories. So that type of exhaustion that comes from playing in a conference tournament, I feel like Dayton might be feeling it a little bit more right now, which almost wants me to give VCU at least the mental edge.
Yeah, and these two have met in this spot one time earlier. It was back in 2015. I believe that game was actually played in the Barclays Center. And what was the signature of that 2015 Dayton team? They had six scholarship guys and Bobby Worley playing. And they're not quite as thin now. It looked like they might be going that way in the St. Joe's game, but they're playing without getting much from their bench at the moment. And this off day is a huge, huge, huge gift for the Flyers right now. It's going to even a lot of this out here. 3 and 4 days with that thin of a team is a lot different than 3 and 3. And so I'm a little bit less worried about Dayton than I typically would be, but do we want to close out? Do we want to give a prediction here to wrap it up?
I think we have to, and the cop-out answer, I do think it's going to be a great game. If you're asking me to pick a side, I think what I just said, VCU has, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're playing very hard, but they haven't been under the gun quite as much this tournament. They've also just, going back for the last month, they've been playing better basketball than Dayton. Really, since they lost to the Flyers on their home court, they've been great. And right now, over that time period, Torvik has them as like the 15th best team in the country by their efficiency ratings. They're just on cruise control right now, and I think Dayton is going to give them a heck of a battle. But in the end, I think for most of the season, VCU has been just a little bit better. And if I'm picking it objectively, I think it's going to stay that way in the championship. Although Dayton has shown, especially with how they played against Fordham, if they're humming like that offensively, they're going to have a good chance as well.
All right, good. I'll go on the flip side here. I think Dayton finds a way to slow down this three-point attack that VCU has suddenly developed. They are the other elite defense in this league to go with the Rams. I think they're going to be able to keep VCU somewhere around 60 on this game. And Dayton will have a very slight lead going into the final minute. And it's going to be like that first game where it basically comes down to the Flyers avoiding mistakes. If they don't turn the ball over and make their free throws in the final minute, they're going to win. And I think that they will do that. They'll be able to clean up this tough stuff and they will end up narrowly pulling out a victory.
I'll say this too. One final thought. I think the key number is 60. The two games we've seen between these schools, Dayton lost at home 63-62. They came back to win on the road in Richmond 62-58. I think if the Flyers keep VCU under 60 points, they win. But if it's played any above that, I see the Rams being much more favorable in a higher scoring game.
Yeah, I'll say that I like that range. I'll say that 60 to 65 is kind of this neutral zone. It's the Switzerland of who's going to win this game. If you tell me it's a 64 to 62 final, then I truly have no idea who it is that won that game. But couldn't agree more. We will be back after that game with a wrap-up of the weekend, so everybody be sure to join us there. And thank you for continuing to listen throughout this week.